Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 6th of March, recording at 9:36 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. I still have this slight bug which gives me a scratchy voice. I apologize again for that. Now, first the highlights here today, and it's pretty much the same old story. In Asia, a number of the markets, well, they were mostly quiet, but a number were firmer in here, including Japan, Hong Kong, Australia, China, all showed moderate gains. But the European markets came in relatively soft, almost good. Few entries into the plus column, but then weakened in line with Wall Street. And we saw fairly, mid-sized declines in Europe, and we saw some chunky losses on Wall Street, including the S&P at closing at 1304. It was down 2.2%. And that's a new closing low for the year. It's not below the intraday reaction low, though. Banks are still weak. Financial sectors are soft generally, globally. And government bonds, we had a firmer tone against that background, not surprisingly, firmer tone in government bond prices. The U.S. dollar, which has compounded the anxieties along with commodity prices, U.S. dollar is very weak in here today, down 616 ticks on the dollar index as I speak. That's at 72.86. And the Australian and New Zealand dollars were down, but the strength that we're seeing is in the yen against the dollar. We're also seeing the euro 153.91 as I speak. That's near today's all-time high, and we have the dollar down to 102.25 against the Swiss franc. So again, a very weak dollar, and this has been almost a continuous day's decline following the downward break from that little ranging pattern that we had for a few months, which you can see on the U.S. dollar index. Now, precious metals were somewhat firmer and then weakened and closed off the lows, but down on the day, 977.83 for gold bullion. And most of the metals reversed gains. For instance, nickel, which has been in good form recently. Well, most of the industrial metals have been in good form recently, but nickel had been a late runner, pushing up to the higher side of what I maintain is a developing base formation. We got up to 35,150. But closed to 32,900, so that was down $500 on the day. Small decline, but well off the highs that we had seen earlier in the day. Now, that was fairly typical, and we saw that sort of action in a lot of the commodities. So what we're seeing here is, although not in oil, crude oil at last but not least, got up to 105.97. That's certainly playing on anxieties, and it's currently trading at 105.38. But there's no doubt that for many of these commodities, we saw some deleveraging in here today, and I think that's also reflected in the currency activity to a certain extent. Hardly surprising. Well, so what's going on here overall? You see the you're well familiar with the situation. The U.S. remains the epicenter of economic concerns, as has been the case for quite some time now. And then those anxieties fan out most clearly across the Atlantic into the UK, continental Europe. In contrast, the resources producers have been the most robust. Now, there has been some conflicting evidence on that because people say, well, or can point to the Australian ASX 200 index as having fallen quite sharply in type 2 top characteristics from its high. But the resources sector index is very, very strong overall, and so it's the banks and it's mainly the financial companies that are at the center of these problems. Now, veteran subscribers will know that I've said for decades that what's good for the banks is usually good for the rest of the market, and vice versa. And while a lot of these bank shares and a lot of these property shares, insurance companies have fallen back to levels that really do represent value, even though there are justifiable question marks about some of the dividends and the ability to maintain those dividends. But what we've seen is more dividend hikes than dividend decreases or dividend cuts by these banks. I maintain that they look interesting fundamentally, but the technical action shows them continuing to drift very much in line with a view that this is going to require a lengthy convalescence because people are not sure that all the bad news has emerged. As a matter of fact, they're quite sure that not all the bad that, that all the bad news has not emerged, in other words. And they are also not at all sure what sort of business model is going to be is going to restore the profits anytime soon. So this is a classic recipe here for a lengthy convalescence. And that is weighing on sentiment generally in these markets. Again, with the Asian markets, one or two people have pointed out, and I had an email earlier in the week saying that some of these had fallen more than Wall Street. Well, yes, of course, if the Wall Street leash effect is decisively negative, then we will see those higher beta markets pull down, fall more quickly than Wall Street. But then the moment there's some respite, the moment there's a reasonable technical rally, we see the speed with which most of those markets bounce back up again. And that's always been pretty much the case. My feeling, if Wall Street just managed to, or when Wall Street just manages to steady and range, that we will see a number of those Asian markets and a number of the pure resources markets, such as Brazil, go through to new high ground. But at the moment, what we are seeing in Wall Street and with a number of the European markets now is that we're seeing tests of the lower side of the range. Again, anyone who's attended the chart seminar will know that when you've got trading ranges, and I would define that trading range as, say, the lows that we saw on 22nd January, and then the highs that we saw mostly around the beginning of February, that then were tested not long ago. When markets and trading ranges test one of the range boundaries, in this case the upper side, if it then encounters resistance there, and people say, well, if it can't go up, it'll go down, and start to look for a test of the lower side. And that's what we're heading towards now, and Wall Street's getting there, and so are a number of the other markets. So really, if we're going to maintain this range, it's for the bulls to prove. And what would be required is some sort of upward dynamic, either from current levels or following a further test of those intraday lows, or perhaps a new low that doesn't follow through on the downside. We need to see, what I'm emphasizing is that we need to see a clear upward dynamic by these US indices to steady the ship once again. Otherwise, if we see those January lows taken out, well, it doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate that investor sentiment will become even more cautious and causing buyers to hold back, potential buyers to hold back, and it would also embolden short sellers. So we are far from out of the woods at this stage. Best case scenario would, of course, be the upward dynamics that would not well, that would, as I say, steady the ship and be consistent with a support building process. Worst case scenario is we get the major indices closing in new low ground beneath those lows, in other words, of January 22nd, and staying below those levels for a few days, then I think sentiment would deteriorate once again. Okay, against that background, against the weaker background, we would see government bond prices go back up and quite possibly test their highs that we had seen in the last couple of months, seen earlier this year. Conversely, if we were to get the upward dynamics from the lows, and I wouldn't rule out that possibility, although I'm not happy about the action of the bank shares, which are drifting rather than plunging, it should be said. But I wouldn't rule out that possibility of the upward dynamics, given the climactic selling action that we did see back in January. But if we do see that firmer tone, then I would expect these government bond prices to come rattling off whatever highs they reach in the interim. Weaker Wall Street, I think, would cause contagion to spread to other sectors. And not least the commodities, partly because these markets have really been on a roll. They've been by far the best game in town. A lot of these trends, though, have accelerated and therefore are prime, or ripe, I should say, for at least reactions and consolidations, and quite possibly where we've seen the biggest accelerated gains, more significant overall pattern deterioration. So I would I'm happy to do less in this environment. I should say we have the slower cycle, the lengthened overall cycle. And animal spirits sit with the bears rather than the bulls at this particular time. And I think not only is it the credit crunch that's worrying people, but I've mentioned right at the beginning of the broadcast, and I mentioned in earlier broadcasts, the soaring food prices, the soaring energy prices, the very weak dollar. Here, this is well, the obvious point is that this is going to continue to weigh on investor sentiment, and it will take those upward dynamics to something to frighten the bears, something to trigger a little bit of short covering. I know we've got an interest rate cut coming from the Fed fairly soon, but that's I had been saying on the 10th, which is quite wrong. It would be over the weekend unless they wish to do that over the weekend. And but I certainly have no crystal ball on that. The next Fed meeting is scheduled, I believe, for for the 18th. So we can probably expect some, we can undoubtedly expect some weakness following Wall Street in the Asian markets as they commence trading. All the best.